Light 104.7 and 1570 AM WVTL.
Time now for stories from the Mohawk Valley. A readathon. Readings of all the entries in my stories from the Mohawk Valley contest. We announced the winners a couple of weeks ago, and we have 28 entries in the contest. Today, we're going to read to you entries by Bob Johnson and Eric Landsberg on the program. Bob Johnson's story has to do with Old Amsterdam, if you will, Old Town of Amsterdam, if you will. Bob Johnson, longtime listener to the program, who has been a farmer through the years, and the story really ultimately has to do, it seems to me, with agriculture.
Life ain't nothing but a middle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Bob Johnson, the town of Amsterdam, has an account of how a town resident was punished for not keeping the Sabbath 200 years ago. A few years ago, Bob writes, I spent some time in the archives in Fonda looking for any information about the early days in the Manny Corners area, where I've lived my entire life. I found the story I have for you in an old record book of the Presbyterian Church that once was there. I found it quite enlightening on the strict religious life of the time. The Clisby family were early settlers and farmers at the very eastern edge of what today is the city of Amsterdam. I don't know exactly how large their property was, but their farm buildings were located at the intersection of Church Street and Clisby Avenue, and extended over Clisby on both sides of the street. I don't know if there are any Clisby descendants left, but the ones I knew as I was growing up were a brother and sister, George and Clara Clisby, neither of whom ever married. They had a herd of nice Holstein cows, several old wood-sided barns, unpainted, and an old unpainted colonial house. Their property by then was inside the city limits, but they had neither running water nor electricity, but used kerosene lamps and lanterns. The barns burned in the 1950s, and the dairy herd was sold. I'm not sure when they died, but the house was torn down when the Holland and Highland apartments were built on the property. Over 200 years ago, another Clisby, I believe his name was Samuel, lived and farmed the property. He apparently was somewhat of a prominent person in the area. He was a member of the church at Manny's Corners, about a mile from his home. This church burned during the 1830s, and the congregation built a new church at the corner of Grove Street and Church Street in Amsterdam and called that Second Presbyterian. Mr. Clisby was elected to the church consistory. He was either an elder or a deacon. On a summer Sunday in, I believe, 1793, Mr. Clisby was seen working in his fields. This transgression was reported to the church officials. A church trial was held. Mr. Clisby was found guilty of breaking the Sabbath and removed from his position on the consistory. I don't remember if he was allowed to stay as a church member. The whole story is recorded in a volume of church records of the Manny's Corners Church that somehow survived the fire that destroyed the church. Times and attitudes have certainly changed from 200 years ago. A story about early farm life and early religious life by Bob Johnson, who lives on Truax Road in Amsterdam, one of our stories from the Mohawk Valley.
Life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy that we can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm. Raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with an easy country charm. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. When the work's all done and the sun sets low, I pull out my fiddle and I rosin up the bow. Kids are all asleep, so I keep them kind of low. Thank God I'm a country boy. I'd play a solid good and all day in the cool, but the Lord and my wife must take it very good. So I fiddle when I can, work when I should. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo! Thank you.
That is the late John Denver with Thank God I'm a Country Boy, and thank you, Bob Johnson, for that story from the Mohawk Valley. Our next story comes from Eric Landsberg, who lives up in New York Mills. He sent in an account of a gold strike in Amsterdam. Again, Eric Landsberg sends in this story, which he says was reported in the New York Tribune newspaper on Thursday, May 15th, 1856. It was a letter to the paper written by a man named Hiram Steele, and his experience, writes Mr. Landsberg, was as follows. In Amsterdam, New York, on Tuesday, May 13th, 1856, it seems a party of five school children, of which one was Mr. Steele's son, were strolling over the fields of the village to a sort of cave or fissure in the rocks above the reservoir on the premises of Jonathan Bulger. This would seem to me to be about where Brookside Avenue is located. The cavern is described as 10 feet long, slanting into the earth at an angle of 45 degrees, stopped up with dirt at the bottom and back part. The children, scratching away the bottom, found what they called diamonds. The children brought the rocks home. Upon some research by Mr. Steele, they were found to be auriferous quartz. Mr. Steele and two other parents, who also became involved, agreed to be equal partners in whatever they found. After digging out the bottom of the cave with a crowbar, a lump of quartz was found, which upon examination exhibited grains of gold. One lump was the size of a kernel of corn. Another as large as a small walnut. Upon removing the loose earth, auriferous quartz protruded all around the bottom. The men agreed to keep what they'd found a secret. However, the secret was already out. As to their dismay, a party of villagers showed up. The crowd pushed and shoved and violently crawled into the cave to see what they could find. Mr. Steele and his two friends left with the small fortune they had found. Some of the lumps of pure gold, or apparently pure, that were found were reported to weigh 10 ounces, another 18 ounces. The gold rush resulted in desperate fighting, resulting in injuries and even one death. Mr. Steele, however, was happy with what he walked away with. Our story from the Mohawk Valley entry from Eric Landsberg. I've already written about this one in my Focus on History column, because this was very intriguing, but I'm sad. I think I'm kind of sad to say that it sounds like it was a hoax. Not that it didn't appear in that newspaper. It did. If you look up the newspaper using the great website FultonHistory.com, the New York Tribune, you find that account by Hiram Steele. But at the end of Mr. Steele's quote-unquote letter, the Tribune prints the following. The above letter reached us by mail yesterday. It reads very much like a hoax, and accordingly, we advise nobody to set off for the El Dorado of Amsterdam until further advices should remove all doubt from the tremendous story of Mr. Steele, unquote. The idea that the letter was a hoax, either played on the Tribune or created by the Tribune, which to me seems more likely, makes some sense. By 1856, which is when this account appeared, by 1856, the real California gold rush, which started in 1849, had mainly come to an end, but must have been fresh in people's minds, and it was easy to get people to think, wow, could there be gold in upstate New York? No other accounts have come to light to corroborate Mr. Steele's story. Still, doesn't it make you wonder? All that's left is a band of gold. All that's left of the dreams of home is a band of gold and the memories. Stories from the Mohawk Valley, that one by Eric Landsberg of New York Mills. Tomorrow's stories will be from Jimmy Mackey of Amsterdam, who rode his motorcycle through last year's Cranesville tornado and lived to tell the tale. And another story from Manny's Corners. Arlene Madej of Hegeman has stories from Manny's Corners. Manny's Corners, now Route 67 and Truax Road, which once had a gas station and road stand owned by Arlene's father. You can read the book that started it all, Stories from the Mohawk Valley, The Painted Rocks, The Good Benedict Arnold and More, my history book. You can get the book Stories from the Mohawk Valley anywhere, available wherever books are sold. You can get signed copies at the Old Peddler's Wagon on Church Street and the Bookhound on East Main Street in Amsterdam.